Здравствуйте, дорогие друзья, мы начинаем наш воскресный.
Hello, dear friends, we're starting our Sunday webinar together with Dr. Michael Lightman, with Boris Alexander Kozlov and myself. And today's topic is, what is the goal of the existence of the world and myself in it? A person comes after he builds his life, his business, makes a living, wants to live his life well, and then at some point a certain question comes to him: what is the point of my life? What is the point of my existence? It's an eternal question. Look at what Baal HaSalam writes. He writes, we're talking about a burning question that is asked by all people. What is the purpose of our life? These years of our life cost us so much, and we spill so much suffering for this. And who am I giving pleasure to? And so many generations have thought about this, and I'm not even speaking about our generation, where nobody even wants to consider this question. But at the same time, the essence of the question remains unchanged, and sometimes it surprises us. Annulling us before we're even able to find some... So what is the point of our life? Today we'll have a guest that Alexander Kozlov will introduce.
Yes, I'll be happy to introduce our guest, Maria Kuzmina, Miss two times Miss Universe on fitness and bodybuilding, the founder of the School of Ultimate Fitness, Regina Listopad, the founder of Fashion Love Story brand, a teacher in business school, and a leading fashion expert. And she develops her fashion brand. Igor Geladze, founder of MJ Capital and the company called My Way, a research and philanthropist. And Ilana of a champion, a soccer champion, Olympic finalist, and champion in several other competitions.
Please, Dr. Lightman, please. They have prepared questions.
I'm sitting here opposite these outstanding individuals. I don't even know how to introduce myself.
Okay, I'll introduce you. This is you are an instructor of the International Academy of Kabbalah, Dr. Michael Lightman. So, okay. Please go ahead, ask any questions. Don't be shy. Be straightforward, and let's discuss what is the purpose of our life.
If you want to talk about other questions, we can talk about those too. I'll take anything you want to talk about. Whatever I can answer, I'll do my best.
Okay, so I'll just, with your permission, I'm Igor Miladze. For me, this question is very rich in a lot of ways because I sometimes feel that I'm moving in a spiral when I feel as if I have resolved these questions of the meaning of life and have entered and have gone through my life with great satisfaction. All of a sudden, I feel confusion. And my first question that I want to resolve for myself is that I understand that I'm unable to understand the meaning of life until I understand what a person, what is a human, what is I in a human being. Are we a spiritual entity or an animal entity? Can you please help me clarify this?
Depends on who we're talking about. If we're talking about a person in our world, then that essentially is an animal that is activated by the egoistic instinct, meaning at every point in time, at each point in time, it investigates what's good for it, and that's what it wants to do. That's what it tries to do. In this sense, a person is not any different from an animal, only in that his desire is higher. Our entire world is built on the will to receive pleasure, and man has higher desire to receive pleasure more than anyone else. That's why man conquered this whole world. But it's this desire that is also keeping him down more than anyone else, because it's not working for his benefit. So we are animals, essentially. We don't transcend the boundaries of the physical world. He's still in still vegetative animate levels of nature. And the human level is when we begin to rise above our egoistic desire into the desire that's opposite of egoistic, meaning altruistic, and that's when we begin to see the world, nature, the forces that govern us from above, so to speak. And that is when we begin to be called man, from the word similar, dame, similar to the creator. The creator is all of the universe, with all of its, what do you call it, with all of their integral forces.
What is then within a person, if I'm speaking about myself, let's say, what is this force that constantly pushes you towards seeking an answer of what is the meaning? Just to, why can't I just enjoy life and just throw everything out, all this garbage that comes into my head? Why is this constant search that is pushing me?
That does not depend on you. That depends on the root of your soul. In addition to the desires to enjoy this world and be better than others, stronger, more respected, in addition to that, there is also another small desire, but the most inner desire to understand, to attain the meaning of everything. Because if you don't attain the meaning of everything, then all these things seem so ephemeral and insignificant. So this desire to understand the meaning of everything, why are we doing this? What is the point? What is the meaning of life? This is a good desire, but it has to be actualized. With its help, you can reveal, attain the true meaning of life, but for that, you need to rise above life, because there is no meaning to just this life, this existence. But rising above means you need a special method.
What does it mean to rise above life? What does it mean higher than life? What degree is it?
Its root. The point from which our life descends, from which it is governed, from which all of the signals come to us, and where all of our the signals of our world go back to. Yes, I'm listening.
Okay, so if we come back to the question of the meaning, the first question, before I ask you what is the meaning from the point of view of Kabbalah, is this something that's based on an individual, or is it common to all?
The meaning of life is common to all. Each attains his own root. The meaning is common to all, but when you attain your own root, it is individual.
And what is the purpose of it?
That you begin to see that the true universe is actually infinite and perfect, and you also exist in this infinite and perfect motion. And there is no death other than what seems to you, because death comes only to your animal state. But naturally, the higher state is not impacted by the death of the physical body, and you begin to see that attainment of life is attainment of a force that governs all nature. We call it the Creator because it creates us. But it is not what the religions mean. It is attained very, very clearly in our qualities that we acquire. It is attained very, very clearly, experientially. And you begin to feel and understand how everything exists around you. And in so doing, you rise to this level. Then you understand what is man, what is the difference between man and all the rest, the inanimate, vegetative, inanimate worlds, because they all exist on within the limits of the tiny ego. And so do we currently. But if we rise above this animal ego, then you begin to attain this infinite and perfect state. While still living in this world, in this life, it doesn't matter. Our existence today, it does not limit us in any way.
If we're speaking about the process of attainment, when I was reviewing your lectures, I heard you say the following. Attainment of the Creator by the creations, by the creatures. Still, within in the same lecture I heard your opinion about the fact that the entire process of attainment requires our life to be simple enough, simplified enough, so that we would be able to dive into this process of attainment. And within me, there exists this contradiction that on one hand, we attain the Creator, as I understood it, through the act of participation of the creature, on one hand. On the other hand, we need to, as if disconnect from this life. Can you tie these two things together?
The truth is, we can do anything we want in this life, as long as we don't harm other people, because that will certainly stop us on the path to revealing the Creator. But if we're just working, living normally, we have our family, our home, all the things that people usually have. But then we also dedicate some time to systematically revealing the Creator, sometime, let's say, 2-3 hours a day, that is sufficient to begin to feel a sphere that governs us outside of our world, beyond our world, that governs us, to begin contacting with it, to begin discovering it, to enter into an inner dialogue with feedback with it, and to remain so until the point where you begin to feel these states as absolutely real. Under no circumstances is it some kind of escape into other dimensions. I forget what words I want to mean.
Meditations, all kinds of.
Yes, it's not meditation or anything like that. It is simply a systematic training of expanding one's sensations, expanding one's inner sensor.
These new sensations that we attain in the process. Conceptually, what I don't get is I'm trying to attain the Creator, but these new sensations, new knowledge, new perception of the world, do I need to use this in my life, or is there some sort of a separation that happens with my life?
You're not obligated to do anything. You don't have to apply it in any way. What gradually, bit by bit, begins to happen with you, it will happen only with your will, with your consent, and you will gradually begin to be able to use it to attain reality, and no more than that. And when you're going to want to use it more, meaning everything brings you to revelation. Revelation of that reality in which you exist, meaning you're going to see and feel the forces that govern you, how they govern your desires, how they're moving you from the inside. You will very clearly feel the hand that is the puppeteer's hand that's moving you, you know, like in a puppet theater. And as it's controlling you, in return, you understand it, you realize it, you decide whether or not to agree with it or not, whether or not to be in unison with the puppeteer or not. Here you have freedom of will that appears, and now you begin to either work with this upper force that governs you or against it. And here there is a combination that appears between you and the Creator.
Once again, in your lecture, from your lectures, what I understood, we have our egoistic, animalistic nature. And at the same time, there's this upper force that moves us towards the development of our altruistic nature. So if I don't act and don't receive the experience of this altruism, is it possible to get to know this force?
Very difficult. Practically impossible. You're right. You have a very good, sensible, level-headed approach. The thing is, in order to truly actualize this connection with the upper force, you do need a group for this. A small group, ideally of 10 people, that will be doing the same kind of development as you are. Why? Because essentially, you need to develop in you integral qualities. You need to sense what exists outside of you. And then when in a group, you act with others like you in this 10, in the right kind of combination between you, among you, and in this 10, you exist those qualities, those common qualities, common to all of you, that begin to sense the external force, meaning the Creator, and reveal it in you, in the connections between you.
I was looking at your experience in this situation. I simply got to know Kabbalah through you. But for me, it's obvious that you have this internal aspirations. It's my personal sensation that you need to be, you're in service to humanity. You're giving people an opportunity to touch this knowledge. It's a certain altruistic path. I also have my own project. I'm trying to understand whether I'm feeding my own ego or am I realizing myself correctly, advancing towards altruism. It doesn't have to be 10 people, does it? It could be the entire humanity that connect together.
Yes. And even that, you still call it 10. Either whether it's a whole humanity or 10 people. It's the same thing.
And my personal question from learning this, something I didn't understand completely, within our understanding, one of these goals or points we're coming to is the understanding of this absolute.
Yes, as a result of the study and correctly applying your forces, is to fully unite, come and join as one with this upper force and be together, be as one.
So this is one part that I understood, and the second part that I heard from your interviews, that harmony from within our lives isn't something that is unattainable, but it's something that hurts us, actually. And this point that we're aspiring to is attainment of harmony.
Yes, of course. I misunderstood you, I think.
Well, I remember when I was listening to you, there was an interview that you had where this topic of harmony was being discussed, that this harmony is harmful to us in our development, that it stops our advancement. So I try to understand this.
No. But attainment of harmony is founded on constant discovery, constant revelation that you are opposite to harmony. You're in a state opposite to it. But the aspiration is precisely to harmony, for you to utilize all of your strength, thoughts, plans, yearnings into this one common whole.
I have no more questions. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. Maybe we can move on to one of the ladies.
Hi, I'm Diana. I wanted to find out, I had a question, but it turns out that I received an answer. I have another question. Each one of us, bad or good, are experiencing tough moments in life. And in these times, we are often asking our questions, why me? So I want to hear from you, from the point of view of Kabbalah, is there truly a law of karma, and does each person deserve what happens with them? In other words, what you sow is what you reap, or you reap what you sow.
So that's partially right and partially wrong. The fact that each person has a root of their soul, that is natural, that is true. Everyone is born with a certain reserve, a set of qualities, having already passed previous reincarnations, and naturally he needs to continue them and to reach the goal of his existence, meaning total similarity, equivalence with the Creator, and that goes for everyone, each person. So his initial point disappears somewhere in the previous incarnations, and the future one disappears in the future ones, but at any given time, he executes a certain program. So nothing that happens happens by accident. Everything is predetermined. And this is how a person is led towards the goal. Each person. Yes.
So each person needs to take some lesson from this.
Yes, well, if he wants to, obviously. If he is helped in this, if he desires, if he's in a particular environment, then he can learn these lessons and to move not accidentally, but with awareness.
And if I can assign certain attributes to the situation in the world today, then has humanity learned a certain lesson? What lesson should we have learned in this situation?
In the coronavirus situation, I think you're asking about, the first lesson must be that our world is an integral system through which this wave is currently traveling for the first time ever. The first time. It's not a world war. There's never before, not even any world war, there was never a world war even that affected everyone in the world. But now this has. And we are being shown that the world is an absolutely closed integral system. And we, accordingly, you must bring ourselves to equivalence, to equilibrium and balance.
What should we be focused on at this time? What information should we be filtering, and how to correctly filter it?
We are going to be led to it now, the forces that are controlling us, governing us, the desires. The desire of the whole integral system is to bring humanity to itself, for humanity to become integral and connected and mutually dependent like it. This integral state can be achieved with a good path or by force. Let's hope that we're going to take the good path, even though thus far our path has been, let's say, bumpy. Our ego is preventing us from uniting into a common integral interconnection, integration, and so we suffer. That's why we have all these viruses and all these problems that arise. And ahead of us, we also have other problems that are going to follow unless we begin to yearn for integrality.
What should we do in situations where we feel that we're controlled? How, or where we are controlled, and how to hear yourself, how not to get off this path?
For that, you need to study yourself. You need to study Kabbalah. You study yourself, you study the forces that affect you, and you understand how you need to be in the correct connection between yourself and the external force. There are only two forces, yours, the egoistic one, and the external altruistic one. And between you and this altruistic force, there is all of humanity. So how do you now position yourself against humanity in order to be as close as possible to the upper force and similar to it?
In other words, we now need to watch out of the fact that a person has incredible opportunities, but his realization is, awareness is lower than that.
Yes, that's correct. Please go ahead.
Hello, Dr. Lightman.
Hello, hello.
My questions are more grounded because I'm pregnant on my 8th month, and they're connected to this. Previously, I thought a lot about the meaning of life, and currently I'm thinking about how to raise children, about my own family. I saw your video on the YouTube where you talked about yourself being a family man and a good father and a husband.
Not a good one by any means.
Well, in any case, you said that you gave everything to your wife, and the role of a man is to care for his family, children, and a wife. I would say that this is a certain ideal, a good example.
I talked about what should be.
Yeah, this is an ideal structure in a family. But we know that in our modern world, things are different. So why have people lost this connection? They're afraid to be in families and are unable to find themselves a partner, women and men alike.
The ego, again, it's just our ego. There is no other force that opposes all of our good, seemingly good intentions, impulses. It's only the ego that forces us to desire more, to be more, to oppose others and so forth. We can't do anything against it. Fighting it is useless. That's why we need to... The wisdom of Kabbalah is about how to receive the upper force that can fight the ego, that can use the ego to rise above to a degree from which you can actually use it in order to come up and ascend and be like the Creator. We're always growing in our ego. Our entire evolution is the growth of the ego in us across thousands of years. Over all of these years, humanity has been growing. The ego has been growing in humanity. So the wisdom of Kabbalah tells us how to utilize it correctly, and that's it. But by utilizing this force, this most powerful force in us that governs everything, it compels us, forces us how to look at others, assess others, what to do, when to do it. By utilizing this force correctly, we change our fate, our destiny completely.
So do I understand correctly that together in our evolution, our ego is growing?
Yes, of course. That is precisely the growth of the ego, and it determines our evolution.
So what will this lead us to? How is this leading us to? To what?
Either it will bring us to destruction or to the correct utilization of the ego.
So how should we do this that this wouldn't bring us to destruction?
That is already embedded in the process. It's included in this program of creation. We're not going to be fully destroyed. In the end, whatever the case, the ego is going to become the opposite of itself. But that's going to happen at the very, very end of its development. The ego will see that if it takes that final step, it's going to perish as well, and that will force it to take the opposite action, opposite in contradiction with itself.
So if we come back to the family, a person is being raised in a family, he often takes an example from his mother and his father. He sees the relationships that are there and that's how he grows up, how should we raise a human being? Considering that I don't want to move towards destruction, how to raise him to love nature, humanity?
Only with your own example. He must always be seeing such examples around himself. Nothing else exists. No matter what you might tell him, no matter what you might advise, books or whatever, nothing is going to work, only by personal example. The mother, the immediate environment, they need to lead by example, and then from those young years, they will suck it in with the milk, so to speak.
Okay, then, if this is an incomplete family, if there is no father, and I'm raising a son, he doesn't have an example of a father before him.
Then you still need a man, or maybe several men, to be around him, to be close to him, who would teach him that example. So he would have contact with them, and they would create around him an environment, a society. It's not a big problem, I think, but it is necessary. I understand, so I don't have any more questions. I think that we should move on, because the question that I had from before, I think you already answered.
If you want to ask again, you can come back.
Oh, excuse me. Can I just ask a question about the ego, since we talked about it? I wanted to ask about your experience. How do you fight with the ego as it suddenly it jumps up in your life?
Constantly. Every second, every minute, it overcomes me and throws me around either to this side or that side. It doesn't mean that I want to steal or harm someone. It is something that controls us at every moment in time, in every little, the smallest, tiniest action. I want to go here, I want to do this, I want to do that, anything. In our thoughts, in our words, in our feelings, the way I'm talking to you right now, the way I'm behaving right now, this is constantly inspected by the egoism from within, and the person needs to constantly study this and correct it. It's work.
But always ask yourself questions. Why am I doing it?
When you're learning Kabbalah, you won't be asking yourself these questions, but you'll be illuminated by a different type of energy, egoistic and altruistic at the same time. These two lights will shine upon you and they will guide you. They will guide you like horses guided. And you will notice, how do I advance and how do I balance these two forces? The entire wisdom of life is to be able to balance these two forces.
Dr. Lightman, if I may ask another question. Regina, please forgive me that we're not moving on to you just yet. You say that the evolution of our consciousness, evolution of our soul, it goes through the attainment of this ego, that there is like at a certain peak when this ego is going to be at the point of its own self-destruction, we'll be able to understand it, realize it, and then move to the side of the light.
No, we do this prior to that. It's a gradual development of a person when he recognizes his egoism and understands that if he uses it, applies it, then he won't be able to advance. He doesn't desire to destroy it, but to correct it. Egoism is indestructible. It's a force of nature. We simply need to change the purpose of its employ.
In one of your interviews, you talked about how Kabbalah teaches you to be above the ego. You even gave an example of the Mount Sinai. If I'm not mistaken, that the higher the ego, the higher you can rise above it, and that is your evolutionary growth. Do I understand correctly that as one of the elements of development is self-understanding, self-awareness of the ego, that you are growing artificially under your own control, and at the same time you're making it altruistic at the same time?
Yes. You train it like a tiger, let's say, or a wild animal, and he becomes a pet, more or less.
But then you stop fighting it, but you need to understand it, right?
Absolutely correct. You need to control it correctly. He becomes your helper.
Yes, it's very important for me. It's not fighting it, but it's more understanding it and using this inner force. You're applying it. When through your own happiness, through your own sensation of happiness, you begin to actualize this altruistic impulse, the passing of this state into the world.
Yep, and for you, these altruistic aspirations are good. It's not that it seems to you like a burden right now, but through this, you see that you're starting to interact with the greatest forces in nature, and that's good, which is why there is no particular obstacle here.
Thank you very much, Regina. Hello, Dr. Lightman. My name is Regina Listopad. As an entrepreneur, I'm very interested in some practical questions. What will the consumer demand look like? How will it change now in the era of the pandemic? What can you suggest to people who are opening, just started their own business? What should they focus on? How should they structure their businesses? What should they expect?
It's very bad for business these days. You probably know this better than I. You see, we have come to a state when humanity needs to grow out of its egoism. And there's nothing you can do about it. Which is why all egoistically obvious businesses and activities will gradually and gradually die out. It's not perhaps something that will happen within months, but within years. We need to attain in this generation a similarity to nature, integrality and interdependence of everyone on everyone else. And here, practically, this egoistic society will gradually, even though it seems to us that it's evolving, it is already stagnant, internal stagnation. And I think that these blows that came through coronavirus, this is the start of this stagnation. And I think that's how I see it, that nature will not allow us to do what we wish with it going forward without a punishment. We can't open inconsequentially any types of businesses that we want to harm nature and ecology, the ecosystems, and do whatever we want only in order to collect money and do what we wish. You know this. So here in front of us, there's a very big problem. How do we balance ourselves? Through the resolution of this coronavirus, we will begin to understand that we're not returning to the usual egoistic world that we're used to, a capitalistic world, not the way it was previously. through all kinds of descents, downfalls. We will see that we're not able to return to the point where we will see that people have changed. We will see by looking at this new generation that they're repulsed. They're repulsed by these questions, by these problems that are here only for people to make money and to subvert others and to be proud of what you have in relation to others, what you have in your bank. And we will see this. The coming out of this crisis will not be simple. Many will not want to come out of it in the sense that they will not want to come back to their previous lives. They'll see that it's not simple. They have acquired a certain new attitude towards the pre-crisis life situation. They will not want to come back to it in the full measure. We won't be at least opening up grooming for pets at every corner. Unnecessary businesses will not exist, non-essential businesses. Businesses will be limited by values that are common to all, and nature will not allow us to do unnecessary things, and our entire society, our the sociology as well. You will see that you will have up to 70% unemployed, and you will not be able to create unnecessary positions for them either. What Kabbalah positions is that these 70% of unemployed will need to be transitioned to study. That they'll need to be treated as students. You'll pay them a certain stipend that is equivalent practically to a salary, and 20 to 30 people of the population will, 20 to 30% will work the necessary jobs, necessary for humanity, essential for humanity, and not simply to purchase and then sell at a more expensive price. This is how I see what's coming up for us, and I hope that that's how it will turn out, because if it won't happen now, we will still come to this at a later point in life. Nature will not allow us. We're part of nature. Nature will not allow us to continue harming and damaging and spend endlessly what we've been doing. And we have come to a certain ending point. We have lots of similar situations ahead of us. Unpleasant situations, unpleasant news. So I consider this virus as a first degree of cleansing for us. And if somebody wants to start a business, they need to do this with a very careful calculation that they're doing something that is very necessary for people, something that they are unable to live without, and not look at it from the point of view of creating new things that are unnecessary. That's what I have to say.
Thank you. And how do you think the labor market is going to, the job market is going to change now with the remote professions are opening up? What we used to hear from business schools is that it's a digital revolution. But now what's happening is that we're moving into this direction much, much faster. Everyone is using Zoom. There's this digitalization that's happening at scale. And we're even running into some scaling issues. But how can we become remote but still remain a member of society if all you're doing is you're working with a computer, you're working with data on a computer?
So what? I have lots of people that I know who, regardless of coronavirus that we had here for 2 or more months, they continued working remotely from home at their place of work, at their business. I would say that most of them enjoyed it. They liked it. And the businesses they worked for, it was a certain benefit as well in terms of expenses. So I think that businesses will develop in this direction. People will work from home. I don't see any issues here. I also was... I had 500-600 people gathered here, and that's not counting the thousands of people that gathered at my lessons daily. And for a few months, this factory has been closed, and I have been conducting lessons online the way I'm conducting this with you, and everyone has been gathering at home, and everyone is happy with it.
So you think that there's not going to be a breakdown of social connections, social bonds, as a result of not being able to communicate physically?
I think on the opposite, there will appear correct connections. And the fact that there has been a certain rip in the previous connections, that's only for the benefit.
Thank you. And my final question, what kind of leadership should we have in this new period? What quality should a leader possess?
Integral humanity. That would realize that it wouldn't exist in a different way. Only if we advance in this direction, we will be successful. Because in our evolution, we have come to a point, through thousands of years, we've come to a state when we need to be, the humanity needs to be harmoniously connected to the rest of nature, with the cosmos, with the surrounding world. We need to stop using our egoistic qualities and our egoistic brains. We need to become one whole. And only in this way we can continue our existence.
Thank you. May I continue Ina's question? You say that our path is the path of integration, to attain our common integrality, unity.
This is something that's part of nature, and we can't escape it. The more we'll resist, the more we will receive blows.
Who is this integrator in the situation? Because there needs to be a force that...
We have the virus. There you go. It went through us around the globe once and proved to us that we're all basically interconnected, that we are one whole society, that this virus is now affecting. It's not simply affecting us, it's showing us that we're one whole and there's nowhere to run. And it doesn't matter where you are, some remote places, I don't even know how the virus got there. It is still revealed there.
But I'm looking at this lesson, right? The things that... What lesson are we learning? Europe closed down, even though they position themselves as this united space. If we were integrated, then we should understand that, okay, guys, we're one team, right? But the result is very different. I see everyone is locked down in their own homes. How do we correctly interpret this lesson?
from the point of view of nature, there's an integral pressure upon everyone. And then from the point of view of egoism, from within, everyone is closed in.
So Regina's question, it resonated with me about leaders. You're talking about integral humanity, but I'm trying to understand, should there be leaders that arise to lead us through this change, this era of change? Because you say that there is a certain space, nature, that influences us, to trying to force us to understand that we need to unite. But clearly, it seems like there, unless there's someone with enough eloquence, or maybe not one person, but hundreds, thousands of these leaders that will push unity. Do you see this trend? That do people like this, leaders like this, arise?
I think there are lots of them in our world today. But these shouldn't be leaders, examples of whom you've seen throughout history. These are simply people that recognize that this integrality in humanity is a natural result of our nature. And egoism was growing until it has become an integral part of nature. We see this in technology, in all the industries, global trade. This also is showing us this integrality of the world. But that's not enough, because it's simply an egoistic revelation of this global ego. And now we need to see that the world needs to be tied by different forces. You won't be able to continue exploiting earth, air, water, just like you did before. Nature will not allow us to continue doing this.
Okay, but when I'm talking about an extensive period.
No, I don't mean this will happen now. We'll try to come out of this coronavirus, and you'll see how difficult it will be. You won't be able to reestablish your previous connections, your previous businesses. You won't have opportunities to recreate your previous interactions or relationships. You'll see. We'll see this in the very near future.
Getting back to the questions about leaders, leadership, maybe if we formulate it as a leader of changes, if we have this movement towards an altruistic society, so what would you recommend, what approach would you, those who want to undertake this development, what would you recommend, what kind of approach?
Only by learning. The first stage is learning. We have a vast archive, if we can call that, video, audio, all materials, books, and translated to all languages of the world, because I have students all around the world. I've been teaching for the last 30 years in full force, and before that 10-15 years. So we have the content, we have a large amount of teachers that will gladly and free, without any payment, teach you and prepare for you and give you all kinds of material, so that without pressure you would be able to see what kind of world we need to come to and not to continue exploiting it.
If I could rephrase the question, because I was asking about leaders, do I understand it correctly that if a person is advancing along his own path of self-awareness, and then he meets a certain truth, right? Like what's written in Kabbalah, revelation of the Creator in the creature. Then his subsequent service is connected to creating a space for other people to meet this truth as well.
Of course, because that is the point of progress and the correction of the entire world. And this goal that we're advancing to is where we'll be tied by these integral forces.
I have no more questions. Thank you very much.
I wish you luck, and thank you so much for very intelligent and very good questions. I'm glad to meet with you once again in the future, if you so wish.
Thank you very much. But please stick around. We have we're continuing. We have more than 1,000 people here. We have six minutes left. First of all, thank you so much for your questions. They were absolutely incredible, and we really like the answers as well.
All right.
But I think it's important for our friends here to hear this, because I feel like we didn't finish. You said that 20-30% will remain working, and 70% will be studying. Give them a stipend and they will study. What are they going to study?
If, as a result, we will calculate how much workforce that is essential that we need, considering scientists and programmers, only to supply humanity with the essentials, and not over more than that, not to pump out everything that's not needed. If we calculate that, then I suppose it's about 20-30%.
What are these 70% going to study? You want to start put them back to school?
No, they will not be laying around lazy freeloaders. They will receive a stipend. They will study. They will study.
So it's not going to bring them down?
Yeah, they will study about the integrality of the world and how to interact with one another in order to be not on the level of still vegetative and animate, but on the level of the human nature, and to be able to connect it to one another in a correct way, and to supply the world with this integrality, interconnection, and everyone in this will feel themselves above the egoism of this world, and they will feel that they're eternal and perfect. In order to create this state, we need to bring humanity to this in order to feed ourselves and to exist on this necessary, comfortable, essential level. I don't think we need more than 20% of employed. And I don't think this will be a certain slave class, but these will be the 20% that will work for in order to produce the essentials for this world. Nature will lead us towards this regardless of whether we wish it or not. There's no point in resisting anymore. We are unable to develop egoistically anymore to place money at the top of everything will not bring us any more good.
I want to say both for our guests and for everyone that every Sunday we have this club. It's called the Sunday Webinar, where for 1 hour we discuss, we ask questions live on air without editing. We answer them right away. Whatever happens, happens. We have a ton of questions right now on Facebook and YouTube, everywhere. We have a ton of people. So, of course, we invite you to be with us every week. We have lots of groups. Boris, I don't even know what else to say. Maybe you can add. Only that we really didn't have enough time to answer lots of questions. We have over 2,000 connections on Facebook. We have Mach 1, Mach 2. We have... Please save your questions. We're going to answer them next time. And maybe your wishes for the week?
My wishes?
Yes.
My wish is for us to meet in 1 week, and we would have more people. We'd love to find out more about the mysteries of the world, the mysteries of the soul, how to control our soul, how to see our future, to rise above our world onto the next degree, which is what Kabbalah is trying to do, and to feel this world on the level of forces and to include ourselves into it. And that is really the purpose of humanity, not to deal with the puny things of this world, but that is truly our purpose, is to perform those things, and that is what I wish for all, and goodbye.